Do I usually intro us in?
You sort of like say something that Halo's dead and then we kind of get into it. We're usually rambling on, kind of talking. Well, I mean, then
he's just speaking the truth.
You can tear down that. Yeah. You can tear down the poster on your wall.
I might as well, because that poster has more views than the
Halo right now. Okay, well, just to quickly explain, then we'll get into our regularly scheduled programming here. For anybody who's joining us here on YouTube.com/CarpoolGaming, we're celebrating a new day. Yumi Capri is dead, just like Halo, and Carpool Gaming is alive. It's the new, it's our new brand. It's a new umbrella of all of our content, and people are watching us here, YouTube.com live, YouTube.com/CarpoolGaming. This is the Console War Room, typically a Patreon exclusive show that Mr. Babbitt and I do every single month. You can get it here, patreon.com/carpoolgaming or patreon.com/trophy. What the hell is your URL?
PS Trophy Room.
PS Trophy Room. I knew that. I subscribe. I think this is one of the coolest things that we do, Babbitt, that we have exclusive content for either. We don't care where you sign up. You just do this. And we battle to the death every single month with this console business.
Mm-hmm. And I've won every single month.
Yeah, definitely can just keep winning. And I keep showing back up, though. I could do this all day, bitch. I could do this all day. If anybody new to our content or hasn't really had a chance to check out the Console War Room, this is a lighthearted little dig at how dumb console wars are. Of course, me being Mr. Xbox fanboy, who also has all the other consoles, Mr. Babbitt, who's a PlayStation fanboy, who also owns all the consoles. We just have a little bit of fun with this notion of console wars, and that's that, man.
I mean everything I say.
There you go. There's a quick explanation, little intro, exclusive at the $3 tier at our Patreon. What is it for you? Does everybody get it over there?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I'm too tired to remember.
It's almost like you've been podcasting.
My podcast is my Patreon, somehow people love it. And it's like, to me, barely functional.
I'm very jealous. Yeah. You do one show. You do a little after show.
Mm-hmm. A little after show. Everybody loves it. Everybody's like, more of this, please. More, I go, please. Okay. Mm-hmm. I give them this show. They're like, okay, more of it. I'm like, all right, here's a little nostalgia trip. They like more and you know, all that stuff. Anyway, nonetheless, I have a complaint. Because you don't like Horizon Forbidden West.
Yeah.
And I think you're a dumb idiot for not liking it.
Well, I'm right there with you, Babbitt. It's one of my possible game of the years.
It's fantastic. Now, Elden Ring's
never played it. Kiss. Can't.
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is okay. My game of the year. But Horizon, because you're like, this story is not good.
It's a South Park story, man. What, like, here's what's really going on. Here's my snarly little mustache. Me, I'm from outer space.
Loved it. I'm like, when's it gonna get cringy? I'm not there yet. It's great. And like the side quests, everything's good. Everything's great.
I don't want to yuck on your yum. I just didn't like it, man. I don't know. Mm. I don't know what to tell you.
It's not for you, Sean. It's okay.
Just, it's just not for me.
He has a problem with female heroines, you know?
Obviously. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we know the truth.
Damn it.
I believe Metroid. You love
anything
Metroid,
I say
right?
to that, by the way, anything I say to that is going to be the equivalent of like, I have friends.
I was trying for you, and then I realized I was saying
anything
it.
Anything I say, it was like, well, I like Tomb Raider. It's like, no, not
you. Do love Tomb Raider, though.
I do love Tomb Raider. I really do. Yeah. I like Control.
For a second there, Sean, by the way, I thought you were saying that the whiteboard was, in fact, your friend. The way you're pointing.
It is. This is probably one of the closest friends that I have. Lee Navarro in the chat, also ultimate producer over at patreon.com/carpoolgaming, says PC is where it's all at. It's all about PC. I think Lee should come on the show with us next month.
Yeah, next month, Lee, you're invited so I can mock you and all your drivers, you know?
I still got to figure out my Steam. My Steam doesn't work. I can't get my, it's, you know how you need that like third, sign in, mine doesn't work, and I can't get back into my account. I'm like,
Real talk, I bought a Steam Deck, and what the original plan was, because it was supposed to arrive today, was to bring it and go, this is it, this is the end game. This is, forget PlayStation, forget Xbox, the future is Steam Deck. But FedEx, man, FedEx is like, nope, it's Saturday. Sometime, who knows?
Can we blame that on Luke? Because he kind of like, threw it's some shade and said that you weren't honestly get it, right?
You know what? Luke's been being blamed a lot this week from everywhere.
He has. He's conveniently the hitman, right?
Oh my God.
Is it because of the Lord Lana thing or what? Is that what you guys talking about too? Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. He feels bad because he's like, it's not what, like you guys are not using the quote right.
He's not wrong.
Shocking.
Not wrong.
I messaged him in the morning. I was like, okay, so Italy has picked it up and like Portugal, like all these other, like I was, he's like, oh, I'm like, just wait for like West Coast to wake up, dude.
Yeah.
You're about to be a thing today.
I was going
to
say, it's going to happen. That was their top topic this week.
Yeah.
It was on the thumbnail. Luke was wanting to Damon about it.
I think this title should be, we're canceling Luke Glory.
I mean, it's either that or we can go with, because bad thing before we got sidetracked there, how you were talking about the Steam Deck was the future of gaming, because I've got my Sega Genesis right here. And I think the Sega Genesis is the future of gaming.
Of course you do. And of course you do. RPGs again.
It's got Gunstar Heroes on it. It's got everything you need.
Look, I'm like a Xbox controller with a PlayStation t-shirt.
I have a OLED.
I don't know where my Xbox
is. And I got a Sega Genesis here.
I didn't buy that, Sean. I think I should have. I think I didn't listen to you properly, because I know I sent you the text and you're like, no, go it. And then I bought the non-OLED, and now all they want is the OLED.
Sometimes they got to, maybe they'll earn it. You know, send those kids around doing some chores, clean some toilets. What do you have them for? You know?
Oh, well, we played Mario Party. We play it literally every day. She loves
that
game.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, man. Yeah, you know, I was listening to the PSVG podcast the other night, and a question came up, who's winning the console war? And Donnie answered, I think PC. And I'm like, dude, I think it was rejected as a proper answer. But like, there's something to it. PC is having this crazy renaissance, and you love to see it. Apparently, everybody's got a gazillion dollars to buy a gaming PC. Or they don't need it now. They spend, well, how much is the Steam Deck? How much is the Steam Deck there?
I bought mine for $530.
That is really good, dude. Like that's pretty compelling, and you can play Wind Waker on it. That's why you buy it.
It's like $9,000 Canadian right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the super duper one. It's like $1,200 with tax out here.
Yeah, let's jump on it. Well, I have enough platforms that I'm falling behind on.
Yeah,
we'll see.
But you have to go to the library and rent a Steam Deck, right?
That's right. Well, my library just got Switch games, so here we go, you guys.
Ooh.
5 years later, they finally got it. Can I tell you a quick crack pipe story?
Go for it.
Sure. Speaking of the library.
I'm only rubbing my head because I know this story.
I went to the library the other day, pick up a couple games, pick up these. Look at these games I got, Babbitt. Look at these things I got.
Let me see. Let me take a look. Let me take a game. Yeah,
get your reading glasses on. I got the Final Fantasy on the PS5. Got that one coming in here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Demon Souls.
Demon Souls. Mm-hmm.
Blue Point, one of the greatest developers. And then also Call of Duty. Call of Duty.
Oh, you want mediocrity on top of all that goodness?
That's what you go to the library for, you know. And also, those other two games that I think should be pretty good. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is I was at the library picking up these games, very excited about it. But it, you know, the library's in kind of a dodgy area of the city, and grabbing these games off the shelf, and then I hear something kind of shatter and then roll across the floor behind me. I'm like, oh, that's weird. What happened over there? So I go and I see what appears to be a pen. And I'm like, well, it's weird that pen just kind of shattered on the ground. So I pick it up, because who wants garbage on the ground?
Oh, no!
It was a crack pipe. It was absolutely a crack pipe that I didn't realize until I was holding it in my hand. And I put it down and said, here you are, sir. Here's your crack pipe back. And he left. He left very shortly after that.
Probably to get more crack.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. He's like, oh, damn, that was my last crack. I don't even know, like, what do you even do with it? And I'm like, I don't know if that's what it is. Like, I think that's what it was. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Like, but I've never seen one before. Like, I don't even know where you buy one. Never?
Right.
No, I don't know.
Well, have you seen, like the little marijuana pipes? Maybe you mistook it for that?
Very possible. Very possible. It was just, it was just pure glass, you know?
My very first time in Alberta, I've seen them in Toronto many times, but my very first time in Alberta, it's like I was in downtown Calgary and we were staying at a hotel and it was literally across the train tracks there.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand.
Wrong side.
I'm like on the one side and I was like, everything's great. I crossed the street. No one was friendly anymore. And there was crackheads everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why we play video games. We don't want to go outside
going outside's the worst.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious.
But to answer your question from way back when.
Yes.
What if no one's winning and everyone's winning at the same time?
Gamers are winning.
Yeah. No, not that cliche. Shoo. No,
I can drop all cliches all day long.
Why did we even invite him, Sean? Why did we even invite him?
PlayStation has a streaming service now. We all win. We have Steam, Game Pass, and then PlayStation Plus.
Everybody wins. I mean, like, everyone is winning. Like, if you're an Xbox fan, you got all your Game Pass games that you play 15 minutes of and you tell us how much of a revelation it was. And then if you're a Nintendo fan, you know, Nintendo hits you in the shins every couple of months. You thank them for it. They yell at you and threaten to sue you and you destroy your livelihoods. And then if you're PC, you're updating your drivers, but you're literally getting all the exclusives that would be on Xbox and PlayStation either day and date or a year or two afterwards in their best quality.
And you're getting, like, games at a discount price all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you're not,
because that's the only way that games could get noticed now. Like, on Steam, that's how broken the Steam marketplace is. Real talk, every game comes out a little bit more expensive, but they always throw like a 20% discount in there. That is because it's the only way your games are going to track on that marketplace.
That's like the eShop. That's like Nintendo as well. Yep. That's why I have Cat Milk, that game, for 99 cents. I bought that one. Yeah, I bought it. They don't even get trophies or anything for it. It's not even like like a My Name Is Mayo kind of thing.
What do you get on Steam? Stickers? Here's a Steam sticker.
Here's a sticker. And I'm like a 5-year-old. I'm like, yes, I get another sticker. Yes.
I think Steam has achievements.
They definitely have achievements. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really? They definitely have achievements.
I want to call them stickers.
And you can even, I believe if you like on Xbox ones, if you already have it on Game Pass, it'll coincide. So if like you're playing on Steam, it'll pop the Xbox achievement and the Steam achievement at the same time. So you'll get two. So it's kind of like, you know, fun.
It's kind of like crack.
It kind of is like crack.
There's a console war happening in the chat, and it's like Donnie and Kato going at each other, and it is just as entertaining as maybe even more entertaining than we are at this moment. Not to completely like derail, like everybody else on the Discord call just like looks over, like, what is happening? Yeah, over here?
Donnie, you want in on this?
We should have that. Maybe we open things up. We've been maybe a little bit too stringent on our rules for the console war room. Maybe we just invite six people. It's just this cacophony of just madness. It'll be 4 hours long.
All right, I got to go get my dictionary.
Every Sunday.
I mean, Sean, it wouldn't be too different than, I don't know if you've ever watched the Spawncast before that Spawnwave does, where every Saturday night they have a podcast with 10 people.
That'd be amazing.
Sometimes more. I mean, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do, Sean.
Well, Halo is dead, so this will take over Halo Saturdays.
Yeah,
exactly. Honestly, real talk, let's get real about Halo for a second.
Okay, let's get real.
Does it not make you Xbox people nervous?
Does it not make you nervous?
I don't think the word nervous, I wouldn't be. Frustrated.
They can't even handle out their own goddamn flagship. Like, I'm frustratedly upset.
Yeah.
They can't even handle their flagship.
Okay. Yep.
He's not correctly. Wrong.
Yep.
And we're expecting like every single game that's going to come from them is going to be like this shiny piece of amazing. Like, we're just assuming it because these, you know, Ninja Theory's talented, Obsidian's great, but like Activision, Bethesda, everybody's going to be fine. But their flagship, Master Chief, right now, you go on Twitch. I was looking the other day because it's part of my job. Only 500 people were watching the Master Chief, Halo Infinite.
More people are watching Master Chief Collection, I believe.
Yeah, more people are playing the Master Chief Collection than this. It's like, come on. I'm frustrated as a Halo fan. I'm like, 343, what are we doing? Like, I'm frustrated because for 6 months, we've gotten no new content, like no new weapon, no new map. And then you have Fortnite over here every other week putting out really great content. And or just new content or different content. And the thing that frustrates me, I was talking to, Ainsley Bowden, who is a Halo apologist. And he's just like, yeah, but like back in the day, Fortnite didn't get it together. It took a couple of months. You know, Apex didn't get it together till season 3. I'm like, but that is not what we're in right now. The times we are living in is you have strong competitors in this sphere. When Apex did, it was only, you know, Fortnite and PUBG that was declining. When Fortnite came in, it literally made the space. So, like, I don't find that is a good defense. I feel like if you wanted to make this game a platform, is what you've been saying, you should have had it out the gate, ready to go, and your pipeline raring to go from the gate, or else you should have just waited on it. Because I honestly feel like my love of Halo Infinite, though I think it is a great game, has definitely waned. Like, I like the nostalgia goggles are off, and I'm kind of seeing it for what it is, going, yeah, it's the best 343 Halo. Still not Like amazing.
I kind of want to play Halo 4 now because I liked Halo 4 quite a lot, but like in close proximity to Halo Infinite. I have a question that sort of has a bit of a, I need to clarify a little bit because you mentioned like if this is going to be a game that is a platform and people are going to be playing this forever, that they should have had it ready. My question is, what game did that? Is there an example of a game that has done that, or is every game that is launched in this way, or is this style of game, is this just what we should expect? Or because it's Halo, we shouldn't just go bend down to the lowest common denominator?
I think it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I don't know about you guys, but like, I think, yeah, out the gate, a lot of games, the service games, do usually have a rough patch. But like, I'm thinking of games that have gone through the ringer for, you know, a few rounds now. And I think of games like Destiny that right off the gate have content for you. People are extremely happy with, and they're really enjoying their time with it. Mm-hmm. And then you see games that are complete failures like Babylon's Fall that like less than like 10 people are viewing that on Twitch. Mm-hmm. So Halo's counting its blessings, I guess. But and not to say that like Halo's doomed, it could easily come back with a new Forge and whatnot. It's just frustrating to see as 343 has, to me, in terms of content, severely dropped the ball, underdelivered, and though they've been transparent, have also just fumbled their messaging because Forge should have been out now.
Yeah.
And season two should have been out now.
Everything they announced should have been out now by now. And it's almost like they didn't learn, like Ubisoft put out The Division 2 and no content. And The Division 1 had all the success and it had longevity. And they knew what everybody wanted. They knew what kept people in the game. And even myself, who loved the series, I got to a point, I'm like, well, there's nothing more to do. So then they took too long and then they started giving out free content. And you could even look like Sony right now just released MLB The Show. It is a live service game. It has a season's pass. They are already releasing content like crazy for this, and they've given a roadmap. They're doing a Twitch stream today where anybody who's streaming it, if you just follow them, they give you free cards. They have content lined up. And Xbox did with Forza, but as Sean's pointed out on many different occasions, they killed Forza by bringing out Halo a couple weeks
after. Totally unnecessary.
And Forza's had a lot of content drops, but no one talks about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And the game was so hot at the time. So
that's why I'm not impressed with the 20 million people have played Halo. Cool.
Yeah,
How many people are still playing Halo?
Yeah. When we were going to give it the review on the Xbox Drive, I remember talking to Sean and Ryan right before we went live and they were like, well, what's your score going to be? And I was like, I think it's going to be like a 7.5. And they were both in shock. And I was like, well, I don't see where this is going. I've already played it. I'm going to have to play it again, but I've looked at what's coming from the multiplayer. Yeah, it's fun, but there's nothing there. Like they were almost going on the laurels of like, here's Halo. You like Halo, so you're going to play Halo, but you need to give me a reason to go back. There's nothing there. There's no dopamine hit. It's just not there.
I think that's an impossible thing to like review for though. Like in terms of, is this game going to last another 6 months? And I don't know that, like, I kind of stand by my review because I reviewed it based on what I'd played at the time and what we would be playing like at that moment. But this is why this conversation is really interesting, just because that can change over time. And I don't know, maybe that's where review conversations end up going, is evaluating a game if it's trying to be a thing, like a games as a service kind of thing, that we evaluate on that terms. And maybe that was missing from my review back then, because I was really talking about the campaign, which I really did enjoy. But yeah, like I kind of look back to that quite a lot, Ryan.
Yeah, well, the point I was about to bring up was the campaign, the review that we actually did was like very campaign focused.
Yeah.
That was just what we had at the time. And we had obviously played the multiplayer beta, but that wasn't really the big focus. So, yeah, I mean, that discussion certainly came in, but it wasn't the main focus of our discussion previously.
And it certainly doesn't excuse the fact that Horizon's story is a joke and nobody likes
it. Wow. but also, with these live service games, should we be even be reviewing them anymore? Should we just be doing an impressions until they start having content? Like, you're putting out all these games live service. Look at Destiny 2, for example. That game was on release is not the game you play now. They've actually gotten rid of the campaign that we all played when it first launched. It doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
As someone who has reviewed multiple MMOs in the past, because MMOs do this thing where they release the base game and then they have expansions usually every year or two, and then they have content throughout the year. And generally when reviewing an MMO, the way that I find always works best is to phrase the review as a when each expansion comes out as a 1.0 review of the expansion, and then provide impressions throughout the year, and basically phrase the review and write the review in such a way that it's very obvious that it's an evolving process where this is the review if you're just going to play just this, and then we will continue to update it, you know, every 3 months or whenever new content comes out, especially Final Fantasy 14 in particular, because the developers are so good at providing a roadmap for it that they always stick to where there's an exact formula that you can follow, that it's very easy to plan content around that from a content creator's perspective. But go ahead and back.
Yeah, no, you made a great point. Roadmaps. Yeah. Sticking to it, like Donnie, you know, in the chat's like, it could easily be saved with really good content, a nice roadmap, all that. It could, but I'm sorry, I don't think 343 is that capable. I think providing it, because they had a year. They had a year.
Mm-hmm. Another year.
And they put out something that the content's great. Don't get me wrong. I love Halo. I love how the game plays, but the maps are now boring. I am not intrigued by the maps. I would like new ones. Mm-hmm. The weapons, they're fine, but I would like more of them. Change up that meta process, and Forge, you know, co-op, both of those have been delayed multiple times at this point. And where I hear really great and promising things about Forge, you're still having this problem of, like, people are saying season two is not enough content. Yeah. Like, this is not enough.
That's where I'm at.
Like, only two maps. One of them's a big team battle map. This ain't it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you thought this was it, this should have all released
when the game released.
It's, or on a monthly or semi-monthly basis, rotate maps in and out so you keep the game fresh. Because, like, Forge is great, but I literally saw someone play on Fortnite today, Blood Gulch Domination in Fortnite.
Oh, wow.
Like, you have a really good creator suite in other places, mm-hmm. and people aren't just going to wait around for that content to come out if the content's still already so little. If the package that you've just revealed to everybody, and everybody's like, all right, this is good, but is it enough? I don't think that's it. I think what Halo needs, and you know, we talked a little bit about this on Cast Co-op, is it desperately needs a Warzone from Halo 5 and 4, I think. No, just Halo 5. And or it needs a BR mode. It needs your high octane arena shooter stuff that we love Halo for, but it also has to branch out and get folks that want that more battle royale, dare I say, even chillish experience, where you're just with your friends having that conversation. You don't have to be sweaty all the time. Have that variety in the suite, I think, is going to bring a lot of people in.
And I think that's the kind of thing that could really flesh out a good roadmap. Like, when you talk about it at first, I'm just like, I don't know that I'm going to get hyped about a JPEG that they share. Like, this is what's happening for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not generally the person who goes like, oh my gosh, stop the press. It's like, but if they pepper that with a few of those things that you mentioned, the things that we know that we like, then I'm kind of a little bit down for that. But when I see something like season two coming out, I'm like, I don't know what any of this stuff, I don't know what this map is. Like, I'm not going to get excited just because there are two new maps. Like, the maps have to be good. And the content that you're releasing has to be good. So there's like this kind of unknown thing that happens to me anytime any sort of like roadmap happens, whether it's Fallout 76 or Sea of Thieves or whatever. I'm not going to be just like blown away by the title. Like, we're revealing the title of the next season of whatever. Like, who cares? But we've been listening to you. We know what you want. And here's when it's going to happen. I think it was Matt in the chat earlier mentioning like it holds them. It creates an accountability piece that they got to hit those dates. And it's like, no shit. Like, that's what we're mad about. Like, that's what we're like, there's nothing. So at least keep us around. But in the meantime, we'll just be distracted by a bunch of other stuff.
In real talk, like for the folks that, like, I said this as well, I'm going to say it again. The hardcore audience of Halo, if they keep listening to only the hardcore audience of Halo, they will kill Halo.
Yeah, that's right? True.
Look at Fortnite. Fortnite, when it first came out, was not a BR. It was this weird co-op, you know, horde-based shooter. They saw it. They saw PUBG. They stole a crap ton from PUBG, and they made a better battle royale.
Yeah.
They shifted because they saw that there is an audience here. something, someone's hungry for that. Apex Legends saw that with their BR mode. They're like, hey, what if we just make this temporary mode that is just an arena 3v3v3, and it's just an arena mode, and people love it.
Yeah.
Like, you can expand more than just what the base demands of you. I definitely think that's what is it? A creative
assembly?
No. What's the team that just signed on for Halo to do weird stuff in it?
Certain Affinity.
That's probably what they're doing, and I definitely think
Halo Wars, didn't they? Is that what I'm thinking of? That's what
Creative Assembly.
Yeah, they did Halo Wars. Yes. Okay.
Certain Affinity actually has been around working on Halo since Halo 2. They made the Halo 2 map pack, and they made a bunch of support stuff for Halo's multiplayer for years and years and years and years. Yeah. And in fact, the studio was actually founded by ex-Bungie developers after Halo 1 basically wrapped up development. So yeah, it's cool to see them finally, they're back on the project. I mean, they were involved in Halo Infinite before. They're in the credits, if you actually go watch the credits for Halo Infinite. But they're not, they didn't play like a huge pivotal role in the multiplayer development, but that was why they made that announcement, to basically say they're taking a much larger role in developing the multiplayer for sure.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
And to bring this back to a console war focus, that's why I like the acquisition of Bungie so much. Because I'm hoping, not to say that every single one of these games that PlayStation's making, games of service, is going to pan out. I actually expect very few of them to pan out. I'm being very realistic. I think they're casting a very wide net and expecting one of those two things to be a success. That being said, the way that Bungie has, and just from secondhand sources for me in terms of like fans or whatnot, they like the way that Destiny is monetized. And Destiny has found, I think, the formula and the tools to monetize a games as service and live service game correctly, or correctly enough where most people don't mind. And I think by PlayStation kind of going, hey, if we could use your technology, we give you multimedia stuff, I think this could be a really good partnership. It's something that is exciting for me, so that whenever, you know, I'll say it, whenever the SOCOM game or the Resistance game or the Marvel multiplayer game comes out, they already at the gate understand the assignment, and they don't have such a tumbling period of like getting content out or supporting the game post-launch.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really excites me, because to me, all these like all these acquisitions from Xbox when it comes to publishers, you know, yeah, a little bit Bethesda and none of it with Activision Blizzard, excite me, because I want to see how you're benefiting your suite of games and how that those partnerships that you're creating can make meaningful change in your company. Because all I'm seeing from Microsoft is saying, hey, this company that has awful, toxic workplace environment that supports all sorts of awful things, we like you. Come be a part of us so we could fulfill a portfolio.
That's a spin, that, and you know this is what the console is. That is absolute. Yeah, that's a spin.
How's it a spin?
It's because technically the people who run the company, did they get a golden parachute? Sure. Yes. But did it expedite the getting them the hell out of there? Yes. And I don't think that Xbox says, I like how nasty that company is, I want to be a part of that. I feel like the true spirit of what happened there is get the nasty people out of there. Then we can actually get what the true core value of these, the IP, the talent, the studios, all those things, and make that part of the Xbox ecosystem. So you get out of here with that, you know, that's
garbage. And also, with people, hold on, but working in the corporate world, do you understand how hard it is to get rid of even the scummiest of the scum? Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost next to impossible. They all get golden parachutes regardless. I used to work at a company that three people I know did very terrible things. They still got ridiculous amount of money when they got fired for that terrible thing. It's just, unfortunately, that is business, and we all look at it as a video game thing. I truly believe Xbox doesn't get voted as doesn't get up there as one of the best places to work, and then they take over Activision, and everybody's like, oh, they still suck. Mm-hmm. I do find it hilarious that politicians in the United States have vested interest out of nowhere into this acquisition, but have no problem with the Warner Discovery and all these other ones. So I think there's more to it, or that one firm that keeps saying, hey, I don't want this acquisition to happen. These Microsoft is just going to make it worse. There is something even more going on behind the scenes, unfortunately. And I think it's even more disgusting, but it has more to do with the business side and nothing to do with the video game side.
I thought we were Bobby Kotick way too sucks. Chubby. So I wanted to throw some blood in the water.
I have no problem. I like both sides.
People are liking this spin thing. This is going
to
be a
you're
thing.
Going, if you're going to, if we're going to like go at it, you know, PlayStation's had some terrible things. Every developer, if we want to turn a rock, sucks. None of them are all good. Everybody, you want to turn rocks, you're going to find terrible things every time.
Glass houses, everybody.
So here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking and why Phil Spencer's a dirty, no good liar.
Son of a bitch.
Right. here's this guy who's like, oh, the news out of Activision's troubling. We're going to reevaluate our relationship with them.
I'm so happy.
What was reevaluating? We're just going to buy them because we know that their stock prices, their stock's in trouble.
What exactly is he going to say in that point?
I don't have anything what he said. I'm troubled by the actions of which he took.
PlayStation wishes they could have bought them. Like, please get your head out of your butt.
I think by the time people listen to this, PlayStation could be buying
or had the capital, they would have done the deal themselves. Activision went out and sought, I totally disagree with
Jim Ryan. Jim Ryan wouldn't do it just for the kids. It is a smart business decision
to buy the number one selling video game. It is a very smart business decision.
Jim Ryan's going to be
you're like, come on now.
He's going to,
this is business.
He's going to acquire Konami with an IOU.
That likes to make money.
Stop talking to me about how much you love everybody. Just say,
well, he's got to, because he's got to make the gamers just shut them up half the time, because all they like to do is whine and say, oh, everybody love me. You know what? It's about business. Business sucks. I'm telling you right now, we all work for companies that don't care about us. They will fire us on a dime to make more money.
What is she right about? What is she right about?
Because, okay, so the way I read her argument is, so when we're taking a look at mergers and acquisitions, first and foremost, corporations are becoming way too influential in the way that they have become so large, so in charge, that it is hard to break any of these businesses up. Like, we're coming into the end game of capitalism. Right. Where essentially she wants to slow down, if not stop, big corporate mergers, the sizes of that we're seeing here with like Activision, Blizzard or Microsoft, because you're eliminating competitors from the field, large ones, and not enough small competitors can actually come in here and actually make a dent or become a large competitor themselves. Right.
Because eventually also she's picking and choosing who she decides that she doesn't like their deal. Because she's letting all the media companies do have no problem with the video game one. She's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You video game nerds, we don't like that. Come on now, Elizabeth Warren, get your head out of your butt.
It's also about the bad culture at Microsoft, according to
her. Yeah, yeah.
And also, I think a lot of those media entities that have been consolidating weren't when she was in office. So if you'd like to take a look at that before you start your spin zone.
Warner Discovery just happened. She was already in office.
Warner Discovery happened.
I guarantee you Microsoft didn't give her money for her campaign, so she's like, I hate you now. Politicians suck, and they only care about the money on the back end. And Elizabeth Warren sucks just as much as the rest
I'm on
of
the
them.
Bernie Bang bus
isn't
as
she,
well.
Isn't Elizabeth Warren, isn't she the one that said like her she's got Native American background or whatever?
We've all been
Lady's
wrong
a coof,
before.
Man. Whatever. She's a glass house all the day long. Don't even get into politics here. Come on now.
No, I like what she says. Anyway, her argument is...
She says a lot of lies, so I guess she like lies.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
All day long, buddy.
Slow your roll. Also, she has been vocal about the WB thing, so maybe you check your sources first. Anyway, nonetheless...
She didn't put out no tweet. She didn't get everybody all running up and going, everybody's got to stop this. She didn't.
So I've been letting Bagley kind of go on here a little bit, just long enough so that you can spill it all out there, so that you got to chew it all back up when PlayStation makes what appears to be lining up to be a pretty massive acquisition, and that
I'm gonna hate it too,
bigger than Kojima, you know, and they'll have to look
I'm
at that.
I hate it too,
and I don't know why. I don't necessarily know why you have to hate it, you know, and I think that this whole like end stage capitalism stuff is an interesting thing, because we thought we were at end stage capitalism when Internet Explorer was included in Windows 95, you know, like it's too like 6 inches in front of your face kind of thing.
Right.
Like there's much more road for us to travel on.
I would say move to America, try to pick a competitive health insurance or cable provider.
Why would I move to America?
Yeah, exactly. Seriously, we don't have to worry about a health insurance out here.
But like that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
But
when I take a look at what happened, we have only Bell and Rogers out here.
Doesn't that suck?
Hang on a second.
Don't you want more people out
Ryan,
there?
If Ryan could just be a little less controversial on this show, please, Ryan.
What would I do? I didn't say anything.
I'm just kidding.
We can't talk about media companies, actually. Ryan kind of works.
I was going to say, that's why I'm
also, Elizabeth Warren did send a letter raising concerns about the Warner Media and Discovery deal, but
I don't like talking about American politicians. I don't think I have anything to do with it.
Court doesn't want to talk about that.
Did she have like a whole like brouhaha over Twitter and get all the other ones? Okay. If I can find it, I will take it all back.
Elizabeth Warren, because
Linnea has a good point. I agree. Let's not talk about American politicians. I was chatting with Babbitt
before this thing.
That's all right. Real talk, court fire boom, says the Sam. Those are just words. I don't even know if that's a sentence.
Can we be in a court?
Apparently, court's also on fire.
I don't want to be on fire. Prior to the show, I was messaging Babbitt and I said, well, we'll obviously cover that Halo is dead because that's kind of an ongoing theme for us here.
Hold on. We didn't cover the fact that Halo is actually still alive in the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah,
a bunch of cool stuff.
Good point.
Bloodfight sounds really cool and I want to play it.
Brian Eck, I love this political talk.
Doesn't that make you sad, Ryan? There's more people invested in Master Chief Collection than they are in.
I went off on the Xbox driver.
It's very weird to me. It doesn't make me sad. It makes me perplexed, sure. But it doesn't make me sad because, at this point, I know we're going to just keep playing the same Halo maps in Halo Infinite anyways until they release more. And I'm okay with
that. I don't know how to say, I might be saying this wrong. Linnea in the chat saying, working as a digital analyst at a health insurance company in Sweden, come move here. I just wanted to bring this out. We got a listener from Sweden, which is awesome. But also,
how does it work? Because I will take you up on that.
Seriously. But I do think it's important. It's video games is the thing. There's some people who listen to us who are in America, North America, all that other stuff. We're very lucky that we have people from everywhere listening to us. And don't give a rip about who the hell even Elizabeth Warren is. And I am on that boat. So
I want more people to yell at her, though.
Nobody cares. Nobody knows who she is, and they don't care. I wanted to talk to you guys about the best generations for some of the consoles. Maybe Nintendo, maybe you can do an era of PC if you like. Mm-hmm. I know, Babbitt, you're a huge PC gamer, big old dork.
Getting your floppy disks out.
Sean, haven't you been like a reform? Like, you're loving your PC.
When I call somebody a dork, it's not an insult. It's like you're one of us, man. I was raised in the PC gaming. But I wanted to just kind of like talk about some of our favorite times with consoles. I figured because this is more of a celebration kind of day, and I figured we got Ryan, we got Court here. And I was mentioning early, I think maybe on the Xbox Drive, that like PS4 was just a absolute monster of a console and just the games that came out of it. So just thought we could have like kind of round things out here the last, 20, 25 minutes or so. I'm talking about some of our favorite consoles and some of the games that came out and all that kind of stuff. And Ryan's been doing a lot of talking, so I'm going to throw it to Court. I'm just kidding. Ryan, why don't I throw it to you to put you on the spot with this?
Yeah. I mean, as far as some of the best console generations go, I mean, I always remember, and I think, first of all, it's kind of like when you look back on your favorite movies or your favorite music and stuff,
Armageddon,
like that, it'll always be Coolio. Like, whatever your most impressionable time of your life will be, as to probably what like console era you'll maybe bond towards.
Gazelle.
Some could actually argue for me personally, it might just be, late 90s PC games, because that's what I was playing,
Sierra
esports thing, playing Jedi Knight and StarCraft pretty competitively. But as far as, console games are concerned, as far as console eras, because it's a console show.
Oh, right.
For me, I really have two that really stick out in my mind, and one of them, because I'm an old man, would be the Sega Genesis Super Nintendo console era. I feel like that
Sega
would be
Genesis.
One of my favorite all-time console eras or console generations, as far as I'm concerned. Some amazing games came out of that, both on Sega and Genesis, Sega and Super Nintendo, all kinds of RPGs, and it really just kind of formed like the types of games that I would love going forward. So I always love revisiting games from that era. And then the other one is the PlayStation 2, Xbox, GameCube era is probably the other one I'd throw out there. Throw in some Game Boy Advance as well. And I think that's a really solid console generation, because I think you had an amazing selection of games. PlayStation 2 had a bajillion games on it, and a lot of them were really good. There was also some really bad shovelware too, but that was certainly a thing. But I also really loved the GameCube and the original Xbox. So, and then the Game Boy Advance was out then too. So yeah, that's where I would have to go. But Quart, what about you?
Well, as the elder statesman in the room, ColecoVision was around when I, when it, like, well, it was
Magnavox,
like,
I, that was the Odyssey. First,
my most, like, oh my God moments of, like, I feel so comfortable are actually with Nintendo, from back in the day. It would be the first NES, the very first time, the very first video game I have ever played on a television was Ghosts and Goblins. And I can still, to like that, it's still in my head. Like, it's there. It's just such a good song to me. I just love it. I have one over my shoulder. And then the Super Nintendo came out, and you had the first time I ever remember playing games with buddies with them. Like, we didn't really play a lot of Nintendo games two players. It was more playing Mario, and that was back in the, or Zelda. And it's back in the day when there was no internet, but we somehow all learned where the secrets were in Mario.
I know.
We all learned how to do the map in Zelda. And it was all because we would play it, go to school, tell someone else, someone would write it down, and it would go. Like, if you think about the Konami code itself and the fact that everybody knows it, well, we knew that when I was 8 years old, and we had to know that from someone telling someone to someone, like, literally, you know, telling someone to everybody knowing what the Konami code was, because you got your Electronic Gaming Monthly or you got your Nintendo Power, and that's the only way you knew about video games. It was the only way. So there's a lot of great memories there. And then you have the Xbox 360. It's my 20s. It's the first console that I buy personally with my own money. And it was such a, it was a different time. When that console launched, that was the first one where people were lining up to go get it, because Sony decided to drop this huge price tag. And in at least in Canada, that price difference was huge for us, right?
Like, people lined up for PS2 at the very least.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't, so that was like my early, that was the first one I just started going to the bar. So I kind of missed that console. That Xbox 360, I just remember it with a lot of fond memories. The fact that the console kept breaking and we all kept wanting one.
Yeah.
And then I would keep going to the Switch, to the Wii first coming out. And then all of a sudden that became the party.
Yeah. Like,
everybody was bowling and playing Wii Sports before you went to the bar. And it became like this extra thing. Like, we always played Wii Sports. Like, I played that more than any other game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got into, you brought it up, the PlayStation 4. Like, the amount of unbelievable games that came out. You got The Last of Us. You got so many great IPs that came out on that console. And I talk about The Last of Us. We talked about it today on the PlayStation Drive. How much that was the first game that made me cry, and how much emotion I got from that game. And I am so looking forward to them bringing that game back out from the ground up, how they're redoing it. But I'm scared. Because I'm a father now, and I'm so scared to play that game just to see what emotions come out of me when that part happens at the beginning, because I know what's going to happen, but I think it had me bad enough that at the time I had to walk away and to pause and walk away. And I don't know how, like, even knowing it's going to happen, it's going to be like my stomach is going to turn and turn and turn. And so, like, to me, that's what video games are. And It's about bringing me together in consoles, bringing me together with my friends, and then bringing me into another world.
Yeah.
Can I answer the spin zone one more time?
Oh, sure. No.
Spin zone. Here we go.
The SNES and Sega Genesis era is overrated. It's Damn. Not really that great.
Wow.
Not really that magical.
Hey, everybody's got to have their own.
The games you
opinion.
Played were shovelware and garbage. Quart, well, yeah, we said one generation, and you picked like six.
Okay. Right? I know. You're like the whole
Stand
gaming
by your
history.
Word. Pick one. Well, you picked 8 generations there, okay?
Maybe I asked the question kind of wrong.
I'll spin it back on you. You saying any generation is garbage. It's just, remember, it's just an age thing.
Like, that's right.
I grew up with really bad Commodore 64
games. He's on the wrong show. He wants to agree. No, you're wrong.
No. I don't like disagreeing with people. It's just easier to just get along.
Console war room. We're supposed to fight.
Yeah, well.
About Genesis and Super Nintendo, bad bit. It's like, I play those games now all the time. And I mean, I play more I mean, I've told Sean this before, but my retro game playing takes up like half my gaming playing time versus playing modern games. And I play a ton of Genesis and Super Mario,
which is crazy because the guy beat like Tina's Wonderworld and whatever. He played like two games in the last week, and it's like that's half your time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's half your time.
It's
fine. It's fine.
But I'm just saying that those games still really hold up well. Yes, there's a lot of shovelware on those consoles, but I think there's less shovelware there than on the PlayStation 4 store or the Wii or something like that. Just throwing that out there.
I'm gonna ignore that good point, and I'm just gonna go straight to what. Well, no, this is called a deflecting. So Elizabeth Warren came out. No, it's an easy one, guys. It really is. If you just take a look at it, you just take a gander. That was, if I have to think of what was the best generation.
Yeah.
I have to think of the PlayStation 4. I genuinely feel like that is Sony's golden age and that they were ahead of the curve in terms of storytelling in games. By a large margin, I feel like finally we're starting to see folks get in that range of Sony like storytelling in the AAA space. But I mean, from the start, they literally murdered the competition right in front of them. And it's funny because it was just like self-inflicting. Like I remember the claps that like there's no DRM. Here's how you trade in games. And sure, half of those things are now normal here. Like we expect it. But back then, Xbox was way too fast, way too forward thinking, and not even just forward thinking. They predicted the future, but didn't get the details.
There was no benefit to it. Like they didn't sell the benefit to it to outweigh any of the questions that people had about it.
Exactly. So to me, when I take a look at the PlayStation 4 generation, I still put Last of Us Part 1 in the PlayStation 4 camp more than the PS3 camp because most people played it on the PlayStation 4 instead of the PS3. And you're right, Court. I'll agree with you here. That scene is just
best in video game history.
Like I watched it literally like earlier today. I was getting emotional. I was like, Jesus. I remember sitting there.
That's how you start your day. Is it a good cry watching Last of Us opening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now and how that show's going to nail it. The show's going to nail it, by
It's so funny that like nobody has picked up on the fact that The Last of Us is a PS3 game.
Yeah.
And like you guys don't even know what you're talking about. You're saying it's linking this game to the PS4. Yes, there is a remaster, but it's a PS3
game. And most people played it. But most people played it on PlayStation 4.
Well, and anytime I start a game and it just starts in someone's bedroom, automatically I'm like, oh, please don't do this to me again.
It's going to
happen again. Mm-hmm. It's gonna, but like when I think of the PlayStation 4 generation, I'm thinking of Uncharted 4. I'm thinking of The Last of Us. I'm thinking of Spider-Man. I'm thinking of God of War. I am thinking of Horizon. I'm thinking of Ghost of Tsushima. Mm-hmm. Thinking about That's all crazy. These great experiences that Bloodborne, how can I even forget that year in, year out, they may not be the game of the year, but Sony is always in that conversation.
There are IPs that'll be in video game history forever. Like Ghost of Tsushima is one of the best games I have ever played.
Period.
Like I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan.
Donnie's thinking like, dreams. Yes. Donnie understands the assignment.
They literally were like, hey, Assassin's Donnie, Creed.
Come in here.
Cool story. About to make dream. The best. They took everything that Assassin's Creed, they made it. They gave us a great story. They made it cohesive.
Which
it
one?
Made sense. Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
And they made the stealth better than Assassin's Creed has tried in years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who cares about stealth?
And look, the games are so great that we'll ignore the Order 1886. We will ignore.
I like that game's good. I actually think it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't ignore
dreams.
Okay.
Knack. We'll forget about that because the games that we do remember are Feltage. Just.
You need to make mistakes to make good things in the end. Not everybody's perfect. Unfortunately.
So I feel like there's a lot of love for PS4 and that generation. Like I'm resisting the urge to like, jump on
360
this.
PS3 though.
So that's where Lee, like this is kind of where I'm going to take the like where I
if I'm going to pick one generation, it's right there.
So well,
come on, tell us about the PS3. Wii, Sean.
PS4 ready. was kind of pitched as like, well, it seems like everybody's got a love for it, but like what do you Wii, throw against
you,
it?
You had the Wii, you had the Xbox 360.
You put the Wii against the PS4?
No, but you had all three of them at the same time, right? You had the Wii, the PS3, and the Xbox 360.
I'm not, sorry, maybe I'm using the word generation too broadly. Like, think about the console and the like what it represented for that generation. So PS4,
well, then he's right.
Banger PS4 is the best. For that one. is there any other console that comes as close to that, to Super a Nintendo. PS4?
Super yeah. Nintendo.
I would have to agree with Court, Super mm-hmm. Nintendo.
By far, Super Nintendo brought out, like, it was the first time as from back then, if you remember, we used to have arcades, and arcades had better games. This is, you know, Babby, you might have been in diapers, you might not have been born. Just, it's just, we
remember, like, man, just because I'm not on Medicaid.
Still in diapers.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, listen, that was the first time. Remember when Street Fighter came or Ninja Turtles? Mm-hmm. We were like blown away. We were like, oh my God, we were playing arcade games on a console.
Yeah.
It was mind blowing to us.
NHL 94.
And you had so many games. Everybody had a Super Nintendo. Everybody did. Yeah.
Just remember everybody had back one. To Mortal Monday when Mortal Kombat came to consoles, and it was this giant deal. You'd go to stores everywhere and just be like full of Mortal Kombat stuff.
Clay Fighter.
Like
you go to Jumbo Video or Blockbuster, and it was just Super Nintendo games as far as the eye can see.
NBA Jam.
And that's all. NBA Jam, another one, arcade game that comes over, and you're like, oh my, WrestleMania. Another game where all these arcade games for the first time could be on a console. Because originally you had your NES and then you had the better looking games in the arcade.
Yeah.
And then your PC games didn't even look good back then because they were all Sierra games, point click. They just didn't look that good. And then you had, at the time, the Super Nintendo was the best looking way to play a video game.
What's the chip in the Sega? What do you call it? The turbo chip? What the hell do you call it? Boost what? Graphics? What do they call that in the Sega? Blast processor.
Blast processor.
Yes.
But I will say, like,
yes, Ribo. Point
actually, and kind of expand more of that. I mean, it kind of does. The Super Nintendo kind of does what the PlayStation 4 does, but instead of the games focus, because PlayStation 4, most of the games that we talked about as far as high quality games on the PlayStation 4 were games that really focused on story or had like a large story element to them. But there was some good, you know, gameplay and combat in them, but it wasn't really like the big reason that we remember those games. Whereas the Super Nintendo is kind of like the exact opposite of that, where there's some story in some of these games, but it's really the gameplay that you remember those
big
games
time.
What holds up so much so well, combined with the fact that, again, if you play a lot of Super Nintendo games now, like the pixel art in those games is so beautiful today.
Yeah, it holds up.
That they hold up over time, like 30 years later. Whereas I imagine in a world, in 30 years, if we look back on the PlayStation 4, it might be tougher to go back to some of those games because of how, you know, graphics are going to improve, you know, 30 years in the future. Whereas, you know, going back and playing a Super Nintendo game might still look just as beautiful 30 years from now as it does now.
Too bad I'll play like garbage.
Except they actually play awesomely on a great controller.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
For every Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, there's a Petco the game, you know?
Hey, don't forget about... Don't forget about Wayne's World on Super Nintendo.
That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful
for every Super Mario World, there is a Rocketeer the game. All right.
It's an interesting.
It's actually really bad.
Donnie's making some good points in the chat here about just like some of the games on PS4. Like they hold up now. We're still quite close to it, but it's interesting how quickly we get used to and demand 60 frames per second, which wasn't always the case on PS4. So yeah, there's a technical element that I think just on that 16-bit era, like that's when you stop looking at that. You know, like as soon as you went from Super to N64 and everything else, PS1, like suddenly, like the graphics and the visual performance of it all, like impacted gameplay to a huge degree, which I think is fascinating. I love this, like PS4 versus like Super Nintendo. I think maybe we should do like a tournament bracket. I feel like maybe the Backlog Busters might have done this before, but I think
it's just a popularity kind of thing, and it's also like I agree. PS4 is unbelievable console, but I grew up with the Super Nintendo and stuff. Like, it's like, I truly, truly, truly feel it's an age thing. I do.
Yeah.
And most of your audience is old as shit. So they're going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm a
turn. Wow. All right, then.
That's a lot of audience.
That just got way too far.
I know. He's breaking down the fourth wall and everything. GameCube versus N64 is not even close. 64, like, is better than GameCube. Any day.
I don't know about that, Sean.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Do you factor modern playability into that? Because I would argue GameCube's way better when it comes to that.
I argue fun games.
Yeah.
GameCube is good.
I don't know. Playing Happy Feet on the GameCube is not as fun as you'd expect.
I know. You choose violence. That's the console war room. I don't know if it's the console war room or just console war room. I don't know exactly what this is. But it's typically a Patreon exclusive podcast that you can get at patreon.com/carpoolgaming and patreon.com/PS Trophy Room because Babbitt and and I are we're very good friends, even though we bash each other's consoles, whatever that even means. But yeah, we all know that it's in all good fun. It's just having a lighthearted kind of chin wag. We got Donnie Reese loading up all the N64 games up here in the chat.
We got him going.
Could we title this one the Console War Room Fights
Elizabeth Warren? No, absolutely not.
I will on my Patreon. I'll do it.
That is the end.
You'll get clicks for it for sure. Yeah.
On Patreon. On Patreon. Okay. Court, Patreon. Ryan, Babbitt, thank you so much. We're going to carry on with Yumi Capri Day, Carpool Gaming Day. Love you all.
What's up next?
What is up next? Ryan and I are going to do the Pants Patreon podcast for Patrons Podcast, where we take questions from the audience and we just have a little chat. Ask me anything. It'll be fun.
Bust out that Mario Kart music.
Ask you anything? Oh, I'm sticking
Ask me
around.
Anything. Oh. Yes.
Anything.
All right. Well, we got 30 minutes. All right. So we'll see you guys on the flip side. I love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you very much for having me.